Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Hell yeah! Yeah, right!
Michael Quirk and Dave Bevin. We are 1 week away from National Signing Day, and we'll break down all the action, everything as it stands right now at this hour on this Wednesday, January 27th, a little bit later on in this podcast. But right now, live from the pavilion, we're going to swap over to Michael Quirk real quick, who's going to offer us a quick glimpse into what the Ole Miss basketball team is facing this evening in the Auburn Tigers. And Michael, I don't even know if it's a must-win anymore. This latest skid for the Rebels, you really have to wonder if they have to win the SEC tournament now to even get into the NCAAs. I know it's early to be talking that. It's still January, but, man, things aren't looking good. So as far as tonight goes, I would expect they can ill afford a loss, Michael. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it certainly – it seems like it's in dire straits right now for the Ole Miss basketball team. But when you look at the SEC and how inconsistent the league has been, Texas A&M appears to be the cream of the crop in the league. But initially we thought that was going to be Florida. We thought that Vanderbilt was going to be a top team. And both of those teams have been up and down, floundering a little bit. And so if there's ever a year to make a run in conference play, it would be this year. And if you look at the way that Ole Miss's schedule breaks down, they've gotten the toughest stretch out of the way right now. And although they've hit a losing skid, a home game against Auburn might be just what the doctor ordered. As Auburn struggled on the road all year. They've only won once, a 3-point win at Coastal Carolina. So they've really struggled away from the Plains. And, of course, Ole Miss has won 6 straight over the Tigers going into this one, and they've dominated in Oxford as a whole. So this is certainly a winnable game for the Rebels, and if they're going to try and make a run, then you start doing it tonight.
Michael, I know it's still about an hour before tip-off, and the first couple of crowds at the pavilion were absolutely amazing. What is this losing streak doing to the attendance right now at the pavilion? I mean, looking around, I mean, does it look like there's going to be a full house in there tonight?
Yeah, I got in about 20 minutes ago. I had to step outside for the podcast as there was louder rap music than a P. Diddy pool party in there. But there were still floods of people coming in, a lot of students. It appears as though there's a lot of folks that are piling in into the non-student section. And there's still some enthusiasm, a lot of support. And part of that is the arena is absolutely amazing. And any time that you get a chance to come in here, it's definitely worth a shot, unless Rascal Flatts is going to play a concert here, in which case I wouldn't step foot anywhere near here. But any other time, it's a good time to get in here. And there is still a lot of support for the team, and I expect it to be loud tonight. The Rebels aren't out of the postseason picture by any means. The latest bracketology had them at a 3 seed in the NIT. So while there's, you know, substantial amount of teams ahead of them, there's still a lot of room on the calendar to make a move. If you're going to make a move toward, you know, an NCAA tournament bid, you need a premier scorer, which Ole Miss has, and Stephon Moody returning tonight. You need some veteran leadership. There's a lot of veterans on this team, guys like Anthony Perez, Sebastian Saiz, Martavius Newby. There are some older guys. And then, of course, Moody is a senior as well. And so they have a lot of the pieces that you need. And Andy Kendi, of course, he's been there before. He's been through stretch runs like this. He's been in spots where he needs to make a run. And so, there's a lot of there's no doomsday going on in Oxford basketball just yet. But like I said, they need to make a run. It needs to start tonight.
Andy Kennedy is there almost every single year. I mean, so you're correct in that. He's very familiar with this territory that this basketball team is in right now. Michael Quirk once beaten badly in a Key West alley by Rascal Flatts. We've learned that today, and we'll save that for a later episode. And finally, Michael, we appreciate you joining us today, and we know you are efforting to get in there into your seat inside the pavilion and cover this game tonight for Rebels 247. Full coverage coming later tonight from Michael Quirk. And, Michael, we thank you for taking a few minutes out of your pregame routine to join us on this podcast.
Absolutely. It cut into my stretch time a little bit, but I'll compensate for it. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Michael.
You too.
All right, Dave, let's turn our attention to what everybody's really concerned about right now, and that is these final 7 days leading up to National Signing Day, and it is absolutely wild right now. Some of the stuff going on. And, the ground is shuffling. I always like to say, the sand moves beneath your feet in recruiting. What is today is not tomorrow and may not be the next day. It may be a month from then, if that makes any sense at all. I'm trying to be philosophical and tripping all over myself. But you get the point. Things are changing by the hour, if not the minute, in the world of football recruiting right now leading up to National Signing Day. Who do you feel good about? That's something that everybody always wants to know. I still feel good about Deontay Anderson. I think Deontay has been a silent commit to Ole Miss since the summer. Everything has gone as expected with Deontay Anderson. My Ole Miss sources are telling me they feel very, very good about Deontay Anderson. I also feel good about Mykael Jones, the wide receiver out of Paterson, Louisiana, another four-star. And that's where things kind of get a little fuzzy right there, because you go, wait a minute. All right, I'm hearing today that they're possibly still in on A.J. Brown. I'm hearing out from Texas that Courtney Davis has Ole Miss as his leader right now, and we've only got a spot for one more wide receiver. What do we do? I mean, how is that going to go down? I mean, if all three guys want to come to Ole Miss, who do you tell no to? Well, what I'm hearing, Mykael Jones has his spot. He's got a spot at Ole Miss. Of course, A.J. Brown has a spot at Ole Miss. Now you go, well, wait a minute. That puts us taking four receivers if you take both Mykael Jones and A.J. Brown. Here's the deal. Mykael Jones is a slot-type receiver, 6 foot. He can also play other positions, perhaps on the defensive side of the ball, as a cornerback, or perhaps as a Husky candidate. So he's got the versatility that we believe they're going to take Mykael Jones, regardless of whether or not they get another wide receiver. Now, with Courtney Davis, yeah, he's saying Ole Miss is kind of in the lead and everything. Ole Miss got a little bump last weekend after his official visit, but here's the deal. He's officialing to Texas A&M this weekend. As we understand it, they want him. He's a Texas guy, and we feel like A&M is probably going to get Courtney Davis in the end. Now, what about A.J. Brown? That's the thing everybody in Mississippi is scratching their heads about. Starkville High standout. Mississippi State kid, right? Well, as of this hour, A.J. Brown has not taken an official visit to Mississippi State. There were some reports, Dave, that surfaced yesterday that A.J. Brown was going to take an official to Mississippi State today and Thursday. Mm-hmm. And then late last night, reports started surfacing that he was not going to take that official. And as far as we know right now, A.J. Brown has not taken an official or began the official visit process at Mississippi State. And he's going to be in Oxford on Friday. So if he doesn't stick his head out there tonight or tomorrow, out there being Mississippi State, he's going to go his whole recruiting process without taking an official visit to Mississippi State. And it's mind-boggling to think that Ole Miss could be in it for A.J. Brown. Alabama certainly is in it for A.J. Brown. But it's mind-boggling to think that Mississippi State is really in this thing with A.J. if he does not take an official visit to the Bulldogs. But with that being said, there's just this little voice inside my head that's going, he's going to be at Mississippi State when all's said and done. even though all of my Ole Miss sources, Dave, are telling me, hey, we are in it for AJ. Man, it's just a hard pill to swallow. And the same can be said for starting Ole High defensive tackle Kobe Jones, which I got to tell you, the intel I'm getting from the Ole Miss side of things is that Kobe Jones wants to be an Ole Miss Rebel. And again, here's a kid who he hasn't been in Starkville this week. He left early in the week to go on an official visit to Miami. He has reportedly flown from Miami to Missouri to take an official visit there. Will not get back to Mississippi until Friday. And then he's coming to Oxford for the weekend. So if I'm a Mississippi State fan right now, and Dave, let's be honest, their recruiting class, it's ranked 44th in the nation right now. 44th in the nation. There's not a lot of heavy hitters in that recruiting class, and they run the possibility of missing on three home run potential recruits right there in their own backyard in A.J. Brown, Kobe Jones, and Jeffrey Simmons. All three could be difference makers, and on signing day, Mississippi State could find themselves without getting any of the three of them, but I'll issue a word of caution. They could also land all three of them. I don't think they get Jeffrey Simmons. I think Ole Miss is in the driver's seat for Jeffrey. And I would be shocked at this moment if he went anything else. But I've been telling you the whole time, watch the last 48 to 72 hours of Jeffrey Simmons' recruitment. It's going to keep you up at night.
You know, what's going on right now within inside the walls of Mississippi, David, as far as the recruiting, it is getting, you know, intense, and we're just a week away. And like you said, if Ole Miss can land three of these top remaining prospects within the state of Mississippi, and all three of them living, you know, just within minutes of Starkville, that really, you know, that raises eyebrows and concern in, you know, the fan side that is wearing maroon and white. How, if this were to happen, how does you know, the Mississippi State coaching staff let, you know, prospect with inside Starkville just, you know, go out? And Ole Miss, you know, since their sophomore years have had you know, two prospects with just within minutes of Ole Miss campus already committed since they were sophomores in you know, high school. So on this class, so you know, it is strange if by this coming weekend we're sitting here and AJ Brown has not taken an official visit to Mississippi State. And still considering, you know, Mississippi State up there with it. And I agree with you, David. You know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, yeah, it's kind of hard to see him, you know, moving away from Mississippi State. But, you know, I'm hearing those same things as you are. Alabama definitely in it for A.J. Brown as well.
Well, to me, it's not hard seeing A.J. Brown leaving Starkville. It becomes difficult to see A.J. Brown leaving Starkville, and Kobe Jones, too, for that matter, to be at Ole Miss. Certainly an unusual situation if that develops. Now, I don't think Ole Miss is going to land all three of those guys. I don't think Mississippi State is either. I think Ole Miss has a good shot at landing two of the three. And we'll just have to see what happens as far as Mississippi State goes. But I know that would be devastating to the psyche of the Mississippi State fan base if they get neither Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, or Kobe Jones come next Wednesday. And they're all three very, very much in play right now. And, again, the key thing to remember, all three of them are going to be together this weekend in Oxford, Mississippi. And they're going to be getting recruited hard. And the dead period starts at midnight when Sunday turns to Monday. And there's no more face-to-face contact. So that's the situation you're looking at right there. Earlier in the day, I crystal-balled Nigel Knott to Ole Miss. I've been real slow to do that primarily because I just couldn't get a good feel for Nigel. He's bounced around where at one point everyone thought Oregon was sure to get him. Then Alabama was sure to get him. There was a little brief spell here where, you know, I think the vibe was he was going to Mississippi State. The vibe right now, and right now is what counts because you're only a week away from signing day, is that Ole Miss feels very, very good about their chances with Nigel Knight. Nigel, another one who will be on campus this weekend for his official visit. And how smart of it was for Hugh Freeze and staff to be patient and wait until the last weekend to line up their big official visit weekend while other schools have already had theirs. Ole Miss gets the last best on-campus shot at all of these guys. Nigel Knight, one that will be here as well. His birthday is the Monday following this weekend, February 1st, and unless Nigel changes it, he's going to short-circuit National Signing Day and make his announcement on February 1st. So the day after he leaves Ole Miss is when Nigel is planning to announce where he will be going to school. So looking at that, I mean, everything just looks really, really good. Now, you get into the number crunching right now. 22 commits in this class, and the magic number we've been working with is 27. Could end up being 28. I don't think it gets beyond 28. But you go, okay, well, how many corners are you going to bring in? Because now Justin Connor is being brought in as a cornerback. Are you going to bring in Nigel Knight and Shyam Carter if you can get Shyam Carter? I think you do. You'll bring in both of them. The numbers are going to work themselves out. But I think that's exactly what you would be looking at. Ole Miss would not turn either one of those guys down. Now, with Carter right now, look, he's trending heavily to Alabama. Now, my Ole Miss sources are still telling me they feel good about him. They feel like that maybe their key in Carter's recruitment is that his mother feels very comfortable in Oxford. But the trend right now, and I'm beginning to think this way too, is Alabama may end up getting Shy Carter. So that's another one that we'll have to watch. Now, I updated the visit list on the message board earlier today. You'll want to check it often because there are going to be additions and there will be subtractions by the end of the week as we get ready for this big official visit weekend. So that's what you're looking at right now. Now you say, what about the defensive line? Well, obviously, priority one, Jeffrey Simmons. And I think if they had their rathers, they would want to bring in Jeffrey Simmons. They want Terrell Hall and then a defensive tackle. And whether or not that's Marcel Southall, who will be here this weekend, that's certainly a possibility. Hugh Freeze out last night in Arizona to visit Jonathan Kongbo, the nation's number one JUCO defensive tackle. He is still a possibility, as is Kobe Jones. And I don't think any of these Mississippi kids we've discussed are not takes. You take them. If you can get them, you take them, regardless of what your number situation is. And they'll figure out a way to work those out. And people are asking, hey, what about, is somebody going to be asked a gray shirt? Is somebody going to be dropped? I don't think there are any drops as far as Ole Miss goes from their commitment list. The gray shirt stuff, Dave, it'll work itself out. The coaches couldn't even answer that question right now because they don't know what these final numbers are going to be. And they will not know until National Signing Day, until the dust starts to settle early that morning about 7 a.m. Central Time is when we'll start reporting the first letters of intent that have rolled in. So that's where you're at. It's 1 week away from National Signing Day. And Dave, I have never been involved in a recruiting cycle that has this many twists and turns possible over the course of the next 7 days.
I'm right there with you, David. You couldn't imagine, looking at this class, back last summer, you couldn't imagine, Ole Miss being, reported this much in it for, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nigel Knight, Kobe Jones, just a week away from National Signing Day. This class is already huge where it stands with its 22 commitments, ranked fourth in the nation, second in the SEC, already holds more five-star prospects by the 24/7 Sports Composite Index than any other class in the nation. And we're not done yet, David. We still got five to six more spots to fill within this class. And Ole Miss is still in it with McKay Juarez out of California, who is another composite five-star. You got Jeffrey Simmons, who is a composite five-star. Where it stands right now, this class could just be huge, and probably it still has that high ceiling of possibly getting inside that top three, maybe even possibly to a one. You never know until, you know, the dotted lines are all signed on National Signing Day.
You bring up McKay Juarez, and I'm glad you did. And let's talk just briefly about him. You know, just to make sure everyone knows, he is an early enrollee. You go, well, the early enrollees are already on campus. He has until February 5th to enroll and attend classes at Ole Miss. That's the cutoff date. Fortunately for the Rebels, they have one of the latest cutoff dates in the nation. So he could still be an early enrollee. They have set aside a mid-year scholarship in case Juarez does choose to join the eight other mid-year enrollees. Now, of course, he went to Alabama last weekend on an official visit with his mom and dad, who have never stepped foot on campus in Oxford, Mississippi. And the vibe is, and Nick Saban followed him home on Monday. He was at Mickey's house on Monday. The vibe right now is Alabama starting to trend for Juarez. Even over Ole Miss, even over UCLA. Now, where I'm at on it, my Ole Miss sources are telling me they still feel good. They say it's Ole Miss or UCLA. But they're beginning to start to worry a little bit about Alabama. And sometimes in recruiting, you got to forget everything you know. And everything everybody's telling you, back up and just use a little common sense. And with Juarez, I got to tell you, he's not a guy we've tracked for a long time. Ole Miss really didn't get in on Juarez and start really, really recruiting him hard publicly. Now, they've been on him a long time, but he wasn't a guy on our radar until late fall, or early fall. So I don't have a lot of institutional knowledge about McKay Juarez as far as being able to read his mind, so to speak. I can't do that. But sometimes in recruiting, you back up, you forget everything you know, and you just exercise a little common sense. And if you're looking at it through common sense glasses, McKay Juarez's parents are very, very familiar with UCLA. They're from Torrance, California, right down the road. McKay Juarez's parents went with him on the official visit to Alabama. McKay Juarez's parents have never been to Oxford, Mississippi. And the clock has expired on any potential trip. Miraculously, they show up this weekend, which I have heard nothing of or such, and McKay is scheduled to be on an official visit to BYU in Provo, Utah. So, common sense, forgetting about what people are putting in my ears, I really think the Rebels are a long shot with Juarez right now. I could be dead wrong, but I'm just going to use that common sense approach right there. And sometimes that's the best avenue to take, Dave.
It is, you know, just being able to sit back, like you said, and over, just look at the full big picture. And like you said, you can't read a prospect's mind. I mean, when it all boils down to it, it's their decision. It's not an easy decision. And David, you've been, you know, inside the walls with your, you know, seeing that surround with even your own son. You know, it's not an easy decision for these kids to just sit there and say, oh, I'm going here. You know, they are thinking about their future. And, you know, at this time of the year, you just have to keep that in mind. These kids are thinking about their future, where they want to spend that for the next 3 or 4 years, and where they feel that they're going to be most happiest at.
Something breaking late this afternoon. It seems to be a little bit of concern growing as to whether or not Ole Miss running back commit Devon Penamon will in fact make his official visit this weekend. Starting to hear a little scuttlebutt that perhaps he may not. We'll have to monitor that. Obviously, if he does not come for his official visit, that's, again, use the common sense approach there. Penamon may fall out of this class. We're going to monitor that closely. Check the Rebel Rise as soon as we get some concrete information on that. We'll report it. Right now, I'm just hearing a few under-the-table rumblings that he may be scratched from the official visit list. We'll just have to wait and see. If he is, don't expect Ole Miss to all of a sudden hop up and offer another running back. They're done at running back no matter what happens at that position in this class. Okay, before we go, I want to wish Dave Bevan and his lovely wife and his entire family congratulations as a new Bevan entered the world yesterday, Nolan Jace Bevan. And I was pulling for the David Bevan in there somewhere, David Johnson Bevan, but did not happen. But Nolan Jace, a great name. Sounds like a quarterback to me, though, Dave.
It does, David. And he's a rebel at heart already. You know, I haven't, you know, publicly, you know, said this, but my wife, you know, growing up, she grew up in Alabama, so she is an Alabama fan. So we had that debate a lot. He's going to have so much Ole Miss family surrounding him. I believe he will be a rebel at heart. But just going over yesterday, it was a wild experience, David. My wife woke me up in the morning right around a little after 7, and we live probably about a good 20 minutes from the nearby hospital. And, you know, she said, we've got to go. And so we went and got there, and we pull up in the very back of the hospital in the emergency room area. And we park there. We walk all the way through the emergency room, all the way through labor and delivery. And the whole time I'm going through, hey, let's get wheelchairs, because, you know, we're stopping like every, 20 to 30 steps because she's having a contraction. And we finally get into labor and delivery. And less than an hour later, once we arrive in there, she has Nolan. The blood test didn't come back right away, so she had to go full through the delivery without an epidural. And, you know, 2 hours later, she's getting up, getting dressed, and going to see him in the nursery, David. I don't see how she did it. I honestly do not. But it was a wild experience being able to my first son that I had, Jacob, he's 6 now, about to turn 7. My previous wife, she had a C-section when she had Jacob. So this was the first time, you know, I was able to hold my wife's hand and, you know, just watch the delivery. I was able to cut the umbilical cord. That's the most heartwarming feeling any father could ever experience.
Well, congratulations again, and don't worry about marrying a Bama girl. I married a whole Arkansas. I better watch what I'm saying and how I say it here. Her side of the family, all Razorbacks. They're from the other side of the river, and it'll all work out. You can convert them, and ultimately,
I'm working on it.
It'll make for a harmonious marriage. I don't like being at my in-laws' house on game days, particularly if Ole Miss and Arkansas are playing. But nevertheless, congratulations again. That's just an awesome thing. And I
Thank
know,
you.
I know you got a little extra hop in your step today after Nolan Jace Bevin. And on January 26, 2016. And, you know, the good thing is, Dave, I'm going to be selfish. We got it out of the way before signing day. I was so worried it was going to happen on signing day.
I was thinking about that. But, you know, my wife is understanding. She said, baby, if that happens, you can take the laptop in the hospital. That's fine with me. You could take it in a hospital if that would happen. So she understood, you know, that we were expecting very close around a very critical day of recruiting.
Awesome. Well, as always, we appreciate everyone tuning us in today and giving us a small part of your day to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels and what a wild and woolly next 7 days it will be. And encourage you to check the Rebel Rise often as we give you updates as often as we can possibly do within the next 7 days. And don't be shocked if you look on there and there's a 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning thing, particularly this weekend as the official visitors come to town. Well, that's going to do it for us on this edition of Rebel Rise Live. For the now departed Michael Quirk, Dave Bevin, I'm David Johnson. As always, Adi Kadi.